Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick. Today is June 15th, 2015, and this is episode 83, E3 Day 1. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This day, nearly said week, we're taking a look at the first day of E3 2015. So buckle in and get ready for that. But first, we have just a couple of little news nibbles for you. Slaggy, do you want to get us started?
Yeah, the next installment in the Walking Dead Telltale series of games is coming later this fall. And it stars Michonne, who is a character from the series, apparently a very popular one. I'm, you know, not familiar with the comics or the shows or anything really, but it will explore her untold journey between a gap in the issues that she was, like, missing or unexplained or something like that. So it's a 3-episode miniseries, and will be hitting this fall on PC, Mac, PS4, Xbox One, PS3, Xbox 360, and compatible iOS and Android-based devices.
Awesome!
You will need the first episode of Walking Dead Season 2 in order to play The Walking Dead Michonne.
Awesome, very cool. We also here have some big news regarding Rock Band 4. Rock Band 4 is going to be available on October 6th. With the announcement of this release date, we also now have all of the official release details on the Band in a Box bundle, which is going to retail for $250 and include a copy of Rock Band 4, a wireless Fender Stratocaster, a wireless drum kit, and a USB microphone.
$249.99? Are you out of your mind?
You're right. It's also going to come with, pre-orders at least, will come with a free download of 30 free songs. Most of which were actually available as free Rock Band 2 songs, as I recall.
Right, a lot of those harmonics, in-house bands.
Indeed. But if you pre-order at Amazon, you'll get an exclusive 4-track track pack of Alabama Shakes, Don't Wanna Fight, Breaking Benjamin, Failure, Death From Above, 1979, Trainwreck, 1979, and The Pretty Reckless, Follow Me Down.
Breaking Benjamin is still a thing.
Apparently. But I secretly kind of liked that Alabama Shakes song, so I'll
take
it.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
It was that one that, we Spotify, or Shazammed. Yeah, we Shazammed it once. It was like, oh, this is them? I'm shocked, but curious. We also got a handful of new song announcements, including Benjamin Booker, Violent Shiver, Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, Queens of the Stone Age, My God is the Sun.
Yes.
Which I'm stoked for. Fucking Scandal, The Warrior.
Bang, bang, I am the warrior.
And Elvis Presley, Suspicious Minds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a big deal. A lot of people have been waiting for some Elvis. It's apparently been notoriously hard to license for these games. Very, very, very interested in what this track list is going to look like. Because so far, we're seeing some really interesting songs announced.
Yeah.
So, you know, stay tuned. We'll clearly be talking a lot more about Rock Band 4, you know, between now and October. And as long as it gets regular DLC, we'll be talking about it pretty much every week.
Oh, right, because the release date was announced October 6th.
Oh, did I not say that?
Did you? I don't know.
I thought I started with that, yeah.
I don't know. I was too excited thinking about, like, the freestyle guitar solos and stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. Totally understandable. And we also have, last but certainly not least, an announcement from the Behemoth Games, the upcoming release of Castle Crashers Remastered for Xbox One, which will have new content in the form of new mini-games, some new encounters, and completely redrawn art assets, which will be available as an add-on for the PC version on Steam at a later date.
Wonderful.
Indeed. So let's start get talking here.
Let's start get talking time.
Right? Look, I work today. It's been a day. Let's get started talking about Microsoft. Slaggy, I know that we were both up bright and early this morning to watch. What did you think about the fact that they opened with Halo 5?
I mean, I think it was pretty predictable. Not that it wasn't awesome, but I mean, what else would they have opened with, you know?
Well, you know, I guess you're right. I'm just always surprised when, at these events, people open with their strongest franchise. I guess I always expect them to work up to that.
Yeah, but they had a lot to show, as we will talk about.
They did, but what did you think of Halo? You know, we didn't get a whole lot about the actual game. We did hear some about, you know, the deathmatchy stuff. It's, you know, they're going to be doing some new stuff in the deathmatchy space. More players on larger maps than ever before for the Halo series. But what did you think overall?
No complaints here. I mean, I think at this point, 343 has really proved that they're doing a pretty good job with the franchise. So I look forward to it, which I never thought I would say 10 years ago or something. But yeah, I've actually come to really appreciate the Halo games for what they are. And, you know,
yes, I have succeeded. I love the Halo series. I am a little disappointed that Halo 5, it looks a little samey, but I'm still here for it. I still saw a lot of the cool mechanical design stuff that I loved on Halo 4. I'm still overall excited, but what they showed today didn't wow me any more than I was already wowed.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And, you know, something that I am excited about is that we did get a release date for Halo 5. That's going to be releasing October 27th, 2015.
Wow, that's a busy time.
Yeah, that is it. This year, man, Q4 is going to be a bloodbath. We also got a really cool CGI trailer for an upcoming game called ReCore. Sleggy, what did you think of ReCore?
You know, I'm really surprised that they got a relatively unknown producer to be involved with that game.
Right? Keiji Inafune-san. Who's ever heard of him?
Right? No, I'm really excited for that. I mean, this is definitely the year of the dog for E3. So, by which I mean robot dog in this case. Which I guess appropriate for Keiji Inafune-san, isn't it? For a robot dog. No, I think it looks really cute. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know if I would say it's my most anticipated game from E3 2015, but, you know, it's definitely nice to see something fresh, nice to see, you know, new ideas, nice to see Inafune doing things.
Well, I was really excited. You know, this trailer started off with a title card that was like, you know, from Keiji Inafune and the people that made Metroid Prime.
Right.
And I thought it was really interesting. You know, first off, Keiji Inafune-san has become a name to the point that, like, these AAA titles can be sold on his name. And ditto that to, you know, Armature Studios, who is made up of people who left Retro. And you might also be familiar with Armature because they're the ones that are porting Bloodstained Ritual of the Night to Vita and Wii U.
Oh.
So, I think it's really interesting that this talent is considered enough now to sell a game, but I have to tell you, I thought that this trailer was really well done, really heartfelt. Definitely, like, a lot more to it than most of these E3 AAA trailers often have, so I'm definitely interested.
Right.
Definitely interested.
And, you know, female protagonist? Yay!
Absolutely. You know, we also had a big announcement with backwards compatibility coming to the Xbox One.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
It's initially going to be available to the people who are part of the Xbox One preview group, and those are basically, like, beta testers for firmware updates and OS updates. Apparently, this will be coming to us masses in the fall, so, you know, closer to the end of the year. But Microsoft promises it's going to work with both discs and download content. They promise that hundreds of games will be available, and apparently, publishers only need to sign off on their games being supported. There's no work or cost required on their end for this to work. People won't need to rebuy their games. Like, literally, your discs and your downloads you've already done are going to work. I felt like that was a dig against Sony, frankly, when they said it on stage. And, most excitedly to me, they showed Mass Effect 1 being played, and they, like, paused it to take a screenshot and announced that all of the firmware stuff that you love about the Xbox One, Snap, screenshots and all that, are going to be supported in the backwards compatibility.
Wow.
So this, to me, this is just groundbreaking. This is, if it really does work as advertised, this is going to be better backwards compatibility than we're getting on PlayStation Family through PlayStation Now. It's even going to be better than the backwards compatibility we get on the 3DS and Wii U. Because,
right,
you know, a lot of times for when playing older games on Wii U and 3DS, you don't really have access to, like, your home menu functions. You can't post to Miiverse and stuff. So if Microsoft pulls this off, it may be the best implemented backwards compatibility of the current gen.
Yeah, and it's really surprising just thinking about where the Xbone started. And, you know, on all the features that were originally supposed to be in there that people did not like, and now there are features that people like.
Well, you know, not to sound like a commentator on American Ninja Warrior, but I think we're looking at a competitor who has been humbled by their performance in previous years. We have seen Microsoft get slammed down and falling over on even the most basic obstacles at this point. And really,
like,
Sony
like
has taken,
people who are like,
Sony has taken a pretty incredible lead in this console race. So if Microsoft is serious about catching up and overcoming Sony, the only chance they have is it being really proactive about really doing new and interesting things and really just blazing through this stuff. And I have to be honest, their backwards compatibility approach to me screams winner.
And it's great news for me because, you know, I don't have room right now for my 360 to be set up. And so if I can continue to play 360 games on my X-Bone, that's great for my 360 games and for my X-Bone because I'll be getting more playtime.
Definitely. We also got the announcement of the new Xbox One Elite controller. It looks beautiful. It has a semi-modular design. Looks like it's real high-tech stuff. Unfortunately, it's retailing for $150. I'm not super interested anymore.
What?
Yeah. We also got a playthrough, a little bit of footage of Fallout 4, and then the announcement that Fallout 4 on the Xbox One is going to have support for PC mods.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
Windows 10 something something.
Yeah, a friend of mine on Twitter, I say a friend of mine, he's a friend of everybody's, VRender, was happy because that means, you know, any mods that bring, like, turbines into the game are going to be usable on the Xbox One. And for, you know, some
Yay.
People, that's really valuable, useful, and, you know, heartwarming. So fuck yeah. We also had a little bit of talk about the EA Access Vault, which is going to be getting access granted to Dragon Age Inquisition and Titanfall. Titanfall
Ooh.
Is going to be, like, this week, and Dragon Age Inquisition will be in the coming months.
That's nice.
We then got the announcement of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2, and then we got a fairly long look at Forza 6.
Which had, like, a car reveal, too. Like, they had a car coming from the ceiling. Woo! E3!
I swear to God, man, some of these guys, they must just be doing whole lines
of coke. I was expecting, like, Das Sound Machine to come out.
They're gonna do some Fallout Boy songs.
Right?
You know, we then finally got confirmation of the Dark Souls 3 rumors that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, along with the confirmation of that early 2016 release window that we mentioned yesterday. We then finally got another look at Ubisoft's The Division, which we will hold off on talking about until we get to Ubisoft's conference, and second verse same as the first for Rainbow Six. Now, this is where things started to get interesting. We saw things take a little bit of an indie angle with the reveal of Gigantic.
Yeah.
Slaggy, what did you think of Gigantic?
It looks neat. I'm not really familiar with Motiga or Motiga, whatever you say for the company who did that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Motiga at all, but I will say, you know, I was very interested in what I was seeing. It's going to be a PC free-to-play game. You can sign up for the alpha test right now at the official website, which you can find over at motiga.com, M-O-T-I-G-A. It just looks really cool. It's like a 5-on-5 battle game with, like, some, like, RPG-ish, like, fighting game fusion elements.
Yeah, this 5v5 trend seems to be really popular these days.
Yeah, it really does. I'm really excited for this game. I really liked the super stylized art style. I was really feeling some of these character designs, in particular, like, the guy who I can only call, like, the Owl Knight. He had, like, an owl mask and, like, a cool sword and, like, a pet kitty that was on his shoulders.
Well, those are all good things.
Yeah, I was really feeling it. Beautiful cel-shaded art style. Very cool. And that led into the indie reel. And, you know, some of these indie reel games that Microsoft highlighted this year were really good.
Mm-hmm.
I specifically want to call attention to Beyond Eyes and Cuphead.
Oh, I love Cuphead.
Yeah, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Cuphead?
Well, Cuphead is the indie game that's made to look like a, you know, 1930s cartoon, so very, like, Looney Tunes, Merry Melodies, Silly Symphony sort of thing. And it stars a protagonist who is a Cuphead. And apparently he has, a Mughead friend, which I don't know if that was a new reveal today.
I had never seen the Mughead, so I'm inclined to say yes, but...
And it looks like there'll be two-player co-op. based on that. They showed both of them in the same stage doing stuff.
Awesome. That'll be a lot of fun. And Beyond Eyes, what did you think of Beyond Eyes?
It looked really good. Yeah, I mean, I like that, you know, we got a little bit more of a look instead of just, these indies are coming, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, then we got a extended look at the upcoming Tomb Raider game. What did you think about that, Slaggy?
I mean, it looks solid. I just, you know, a lot of what my complaints are going to be about today's show, you know, just in general with all of the conferences, is when we saw just extended footage without actual, like, you know, gameplay. And it just was like, oh, Laura's in the snow. Oh, no, Laura's going to fall off the snowy cliff. Oh, save Laura.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're just banking on the fact that, you know, the Tomb Raider, did that have a subtitle, or was it just Tomb Raider?
It was just Tomb Raider.
Right, so Tomb Raider, you know, the reboot was really well-received, and, you know, a pretty solid game, so I wonder if they were just like, oh, we don't need to show anything, but it also was kind of like, you know, I don't really feel like I could form a strong impression of it based on that.
I would largely agree with that. I am still looking somewhat forward to it when it hits November 10th, 2015, but I don't necessarily have a whole lot to say about it. Like, I'm kind of on Tomb Raider burnout already. I feel like every other week Tomb Raider is in the news for something. I just want it to go away until it's ready and then check it out. Because, you know, I did think that that first Tomb Raider game was really well designed, and yeah. I'll check this one out. We also saw the official announcement of Rare Replay, which is a 30-game compilation of Rare's best games. This is going to be out August 4th. It's going to retail for $30. And Slaggy, do you want to talk about some of the games that are included here?
Yeah, you can get fucking Conker's Bad Fur Day. You can get Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark, Blast Corps, Pro-Am, Battletoads, Battletoads Arcade,
Banjo-Tooie, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and
Bolts, Banjo-Banjo,
fucking Jet Force Gemini,
Viva Pinata and Viva Pinata of Trouble in Paradise,
Cameo, Killer Instinct Gold, Saber Wolf, Solar Jetman, Jetpack.
And like, some people seemed really excited. I think that it might be covered in our social links about Snake Rattle and Roll.
Yeah, Snake Rattle.
It might have just
roll.
Also been just general feedback I saw. I don't know if that was actually in our social links. We'll find out later.
Hint, hint. That would make a great companion piece for Gamebuie's look at Rareware.
Yes.
We also saw the announcement of the new IP from Rare. It is called Sea of Thieves, and it appears to be a multiplayer online pirate game of some kind. I didn't get too good of a feel for, like, what the actual gameplay loop is going to be, but it's online and there are pirates.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what is this pirate music? And then I was like, you were just the type of game as I thought, you know? Pirates are great.
We also got a new trailer for Fable Legends.
Yeah, we did.
So, you know, that's exciting. I didn't necessarily get a lot of new information out of it. Did you, Slaggy?
No, I didn't realize that's what it was at first. I thought it was another Rare title, just because of the transition of it.
Yeah.
And then they showed it, I was like, oh, yeah, Fable Legends.
Yeah. Either way, though, I'm super stoked. I cannot wait for Fable Legends, and that's definitely one that we will be talking about a whole lot more in the coming months.
Yes.
We then got word of Valve VR being in cahoots with Microsoft. You know,
that was interesting.
We already knew that Microsoft was going to be working with Oculus Rift, but they will also be working with Valve VR. So, you know, this is really exciting. I didn't really get a whole lot of, like, actual concrete information
right.
from this, so much as, you know, something to look forward to and to know that they're working together.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a neat display of HoloLens.
Yeah.
And specifically the Minecraft build that's made for HoloLens. It looked really cool, you know.
Yeah, they must have had a HoloLens, like, on the camera or something, because otherwise, how did they possibly show that?
I think the camera was just superimposing the data from the HoloLens.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. Either way, it was a cool display, and if HoloLens works even half as well as that, then we're going to be in for something very special and exciting from HoloLens.
Yeah, it basically made Minecraft look like playing with Legos, but with your hands, magically.
Because you don't play with Legos with your hands?
No, like, without touching them, like, just going, like, whoop, and raising up the terrain and stuff.
Okay.
Like, no, Fantasia style.
I feel ya. And then the event sort of wrapped up with the dual announcement of the Gears of War Ultimate Edition, which is the remastered version of Gears of War. The public beta of the multiplayer starts today. The game itself will be releasing later this year. And then we got the official announcement of Gears 4, which will be a 2016 holiday title.
Yeah.
Both of these, of course, looked stupendous. I like Gears of War. After the first one, I really lost interest, but that first one I actually liked quite a bit. It was the first, at the time, next-gen game I played. That might be a big part of it. Either way, maybe it's for nostalgia, if no other reason, but I'm looking forward to playing both of these Gears games.
Yeah.
Slaggy, what did you think overall about the Microsoft event?
You know, I'm pretty much sharing the sentiment of a lot of people out there. I think they had a really strong show this year. And, you know, even if there's not a ton of things that really wowed me, they definitely, you know, I mean, even just with the backwards compatibility announcement, that's huge. And, you know, I think it's really good that they focused on games and that, you know, they really are showing like, oh, look at all this stuff coming to the Xbox One. Instead of being like, oh, we're going to talk about Windows 10, blah, 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 Windows 10, Windows Phone.
Yeah, no, again, you know, it's like I was saying, I really feel like we're seeing a Microsoft that's been a little humbled, and they are in it to win it. They came to this event looking
at... They talked about, like, over a dozen games, you know? If you count all the indie reel, I mean, probably, like, a couple dozen games.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is more than we can say for some of the other conferences today.
Right? Well, let me say, I was overall impressed. I am super stoked with the direction Microsoft is taking. I finally feel like they have their heads on straight. I did not get all of the game stuff I needed out of this event, but, you know, we have Gamescom coming up, and they stated very clearly they have a huge games focus at Gamescom when we get there. They're going to be bringing Scalebound to that event. They're going to be bringing Crackdown 3 to that event, and they say more, including more announcements. So,
oh, good.
I'm stoked for the direction Microsoft is heading. I think they finally have their bearings right, and I'm looking forward to it.
And you know what I also liked? They didn't have too many cheesy gimmicks or guest stars or anything like that. Aside from the car coming down from the ceiling, but they weren't the only one to have a car in their show.
Indeed. Well, why don't we move on then to talk about EA? You want to talk about only having like 7 games, gosh. That having been said, they opened up with a can of whoop-ass. The first thing EA had for us was the official announcement and reveal trailer of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Right?
Holy shit.
Did you see some Krogan fighting in the trailer?
I sure did. I know so little about this game. I know next to nothing, and I am still excited that I
it's
did
Mass
a happy
Effect.
Giddy dance.
It's Mass Effect, duh.
Yeah. Well, what did you think, Slaggy?
I mean, I wish that there was more, that's all, but I guess we're going to be hearing more information now as we lead up to it. I mean, I guess even without information, you know, if we just got it and got to be surprised, but it makes me want it now, so boo.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard wait for that one. That's a holiday 2016 title, I believe they said.
Yeah, at first I thought they said 2015, I was like, but then it was like, right? Oh, wait, 2016.
We then got an extended look at the next Need for Speed game.
Which also showed a live car demo.
Man, fucking all of the coke that must be being done at E3. Let's bring a new car to our stage and raise it, lower it from the ceiling. Jesus, guys, really? That having been said, I thought Need for Speed looked really good. The graphics look great. I'm interested in some of the design, mechanical design they're doing.
Yeah, like they said, they were trying to incorporate elements of all the different types of Need for Speeds they've done over the years. Because this was just called Need for Speed, right? Like, it didn't have a subtitle.
Yeah, correct.
It seems like, you know, what's the one that you really liked? The ones that are kind of more, like, racy-oriented. Not racy, like, ooh, but, like, racing-oriented, rather than, like, the Cops and Robbers version one.
Well, like, I really liked Most Wanted a lot. I liked Ghosts, was it? No, Ghosts. I like some of the Need for Speed games. Either way. What?
Like, Ghosts is Call of Duty.
No, Anyway.
I'm just trolling.
Anyway, Need for Speed, overall, I thought it looked good. I'll probably be buying it because for some reason I buy all of the Need for Speed games. But what really got my attention after Need for Speed was the reveal trailer of the new expansion for Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah.
This is Knights of the Fallen Empire. And it is very specifically, its stated goal is to be closer to the roots of the core BioWare experience. So it's going to be a little less MMO and a little more Knights of the Old Republic, but online. And I think that is a great direction for Knights of the Fallen Empire. I'm very excited. It's going to have new planets, new companions, a whole storyline. And it's going to be free for people who subscribe to the game. So if you're a paid subscriber, you're getting the expansion free.
Yep.
What did you think, Slaggy?
Oh, I was surprised that they talked about the Old Republic, but I was very pleased. You know, as someone who's gotten back into the game recently and who has, paid for a subscription, this is incentive to keep paying for a subscription.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that they kept calling it out as, like, BioWare storytelling. BioWare storytelling. They must have used that phrase 5 times. In the, like, 3 minutes this thing was on screen. But, you know, it worked. We're here talking about it excitedly.
Yep.
Now, Unraveled. What did you think of Unraveled, the next game that was shown by EA?
I thought it looked really, 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 really cute. The guy who was from the studio, was it a Swedish studio, I think?
I think so.
And he was like, I'd like to introduce you to Yarny. And he was like, oh, hello, and made it wave hello. I was like, wow, you are really awkward. He was like, oh, no. That aside, I thought it looked really cute. You know, I'd like to see more of it. But it seems like the type of little indie platformer experience that I think a lot of people will enjoy.
Excellent. That's great.
And I hope they sell little Yarnies, because Yarny is really cute. And just the idea that this man knit a little Yarny toy and took pictures of it out in, like, the wilderness and stuff is very charming.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I, I really enjoyed the Unraveled tease and trailer. I thought that some of the discussion stuff, or the presentation stuff, it was questionable. It was questionable, but overall, I'm really excited for the game.
Say hello, Yarny. Hello!
And that brings us, of course, to the proper reveal of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot to say about it that we haven't said about the first game. It looks cute. It looks fun. I'll definitely check it out. You know, I got the first game.
The crowd didn't really seem to be feeling it much.
Which is weird to me, because I thought the first game was surprisingly popular. Like, mm-hmm. I thought people dug it.
They even talked about it, like, oh, it was very successful. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely one that I'll be looking into when it releases.
Yeah, it seems to have, like, a zombie focus, like that the zombies are trying to make Zombopolis or something. I don't know.
Yeah. We then got, like, a whole half hour of, like, sleep-inducing sports stuff. I ain't even trying to be mean. I was not feeling.
And they brought out, like, this guy who...
Pele.
Pele. I guess I don't know much about football, but apparently he's very famous, but then they were like, oh, tell us about the beautiful sport. And I mean, it was, if this was ESPN, I'd be like, oh, that's really cool, soccer legend. But I'm like, can you just talk about FIFA now?
Yeah, I
saw a great tweet from one of my friends, not at Game Movie, but just in general, about, oh, does it come with, like, corruption behind the scenes?
Ah, that's dirty.
Right?
That's dark-sided.
And then, oh, don't forget Hoop God.
Oh, yeah, Hoop God came out and... made a fat joke, and,
Who is Hoop God? Is he someone I'm supposed to know?
I don't even know. I don't even know who that was. So, whatever. I'll be honest, I just want to move on from the sports segment.
Sports, baby.
Yeah, no, there are sports I like. They were not represented here. We also got a presentation on mobile games, including the upcoming Star Wars Mobile Social Card Game.
Oh, boy.
And a mobile game based on the Minions.
Oh, that did not go over well. People were, like, not even responding to it.
Luckily, things turned around a bit when we got I guess you can't really announce something that's already been announced, but the gameplay debut trailer of Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Yeah.
As well as a release date of February 23rd, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really exciting to me because that's not nearly as far away as I thought it would be. You know, that we're going to be playing this game in just, what, like 7 or 8 months. To me, that's really surprising and awesome.
Yeah.
Once again, they
awesome.
Reaffirmed the design choice that, you know, it's a reboot. It's going to be a little more open worldy rather than like the strict.
With no loading times.
Well, yeah, it's going to be an open, seamless world. You're going to take on, you know, missions and just sort of traverse the city at will. And, you know, basically you're going to have to work your way up when you have to do corporate espionage from, like, ground level to the outside of a building to find your way in the building, scaling the building.
And take down the CEO who looks a lot like the EA CEO. Did you see that?
I did
see that. The side by side.
And I was feeling him, so I was okay with that. So I was super into it. I'm super into the concept. I normally find open worlds fairly tedious, but I think with Mirror's Edge, because the traversal mechanics are so fun, I'm actually really excited. I think this is going to be one of those rare few 3D games where, like, I'm still interested in exploring the world because I'm not stuck on, like, Jesus, walking goes so slow, I'm just going to make Link roll constantly, even though I'm so tired of hearing, Yeah, traversal in 3D games is so boring to me more often than not.
Well, thankfully you'll
be able
to, like,
I think that's my problem with
zip line and jump and parkour all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we got a little Star Wars presentation, including an extended look at the upcoming Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
I was super excited about Battlefront. I love the Battlefront series. Cannot wait to play the new one. The graphics are astounding. It looks, you know, like an interesting gameplay.
They showed, like, some footage of the Force of Endor and then a battle on Hoth, where they showed, like, the Empire side and the Jedi side, or I guess the Rebel side, I guess you could say, you know, and then they had Darth Vader and they had Luke, and people were like, woo!
Yes, what you said.
Yes, what I said.
Alright, am I missing anything?
Oh, you mean we're not going to talk more about the mobile social card game?
Alright, so, Slaggy, what did you think about EA's press conference?
Started out with a bang, ended with a bang, and had a few bits in between. The sports part, as always, went on way too long. I saw actually some good ideas floating around on the internet that really the EA Sports and just the other EA stuff should really be separate conferences.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I know that sports is a huge part of EA's business, and, you know, that's cool, good for them, but it's just not something that a lot of us are interested in. And really, I think separating it out would do very good things for them. The people who want the sports stuff can check it out. Those of us that don't wouldn't be in there shitting up conversations about it, talking about how bored we all are. Everyone would win here.
I was watching over on YouTube, but apparently on Twitch, people were just like z z z z z z z z z in the chat.
And I mean, on one hand, how disrespectful and fucking rude is that? And on the other, I can't entirely blame them.
It was the sports stuff, which, to be fair, people have worked hard on. Oops, hard on. But, you know, people have worked hard to make these games what they are, and, you know, they apparently do really well, so no disrespect, just not really our thing.
Yep, exactly that. Well, then,
not really on our radar and doesn't really need to be.
Well, then, let's talk about Ubisoft's conference. They also started out with a bang with the announcement of the sequel to South Park and the Stick of Truth, South Park Fractured But Whole.
Say that again?
South Park Fractured Butthole.
Say that again?
South Park Fractured Butthole.
Okay.
Indeed, it is, it's another South Park RPG.
I love that the, like, first couple seconds of it was, like, talking about how the battle system or something in the first game sucked or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one's being done by the San Francisco Ubisoft. Ubi.
I will always call them Ubi.
They're Ubi.
I do see that a lot of people on stage are calling them Ubi, so whatever. I'm gonna keep saying Ubi. I don't give a fuck.
Ooh, Ubisoft, girl.
Ew, Jesus. Super excited for Fractured Butthole.
Oh, you're always excited for Fractured Butthole, aren't you?
Okay, we're getting off topic and turning into a gross podcast. I don't want to be that. So let's talk about For Honor.
Yeah, it is a sortie bits thing where you...
So it's another one of those, multiplayer, like, was it five or was it four?
I can't remember.
I think it was a four versus four game.
I think it was 4v4, yeah.
You take the control of, like, four heroes of an army, but interestingly, as you're, like, you know, the player characters are controlling these four heroes, you have, like, a whole Musou-style army
there
happening
a little
around
bit of Musou
you.
In there, yeah.
And I overall actually thought it looked really interesting. The real focus, I guess, is on the swordplay elements and, you know, what it's like
swordplay.
To be fighting in a fight, in a sword fight.
Ooh, sword fight.
Really, Slack Kick?
Ooh, sword fight.
gross. But overall, I'm definitely interested in the game. It looked really cool. The graphics were good, which is aight, but more interestingly, I thought the swordplay looked really meaty, looked really tough, and, you know, these guys were just banging down their swords and their shields against each other, and I thought it looked really compelling. It looked dynamic.
Now you're just trolling me.
I'm actually not. I thought it looked like really dynamic swordplay, and I don't think we get that a lot.
No, but you were talking about meaty swordplay and banging against each other.
No, that is you being nasty. We also got the announcement
Blame Matt and Trey. They started it out with the fractured butthole.
We also got the announcement of an upcoming expansion pack for The Crew, as well as an expansion pack for Trials Fusion. We then saw...
Can you talk about what was in the Trials Fusion expansion pack?
Oh, you mean like a tiger with a gun riding a unicorn?
A cat riding a unicorn, yes.
Yeah, it was very exciting. We also got further gameplay of Tom Clancy's The Division.
Yeah, and they did some, you know, Division. No, I mean, like, it looked all right. I guess.
As well as the announcement, reveal announcement, whatever you want to say, of Anno 2205.
Yeah, there's moon elements.
Oh, they go, moon me? What?
No. You can work your way to the moon.
On the moon? Excellent. That's very, very exciting. Everyone knows the moon is made of cheese.
Did you know that all of the, I just learned this today, all of the years in all of the Anno titles add up to 9. Like, 2205, 220, and 5 add up to 9.
That is awesome, actually.
Because the first one was what, 1602?
I guess it was, yeah. We also got the announcement of Just Dance 2016, as well as Just Dance Unlimited.
Yeah, that's going to be for the current console generation, a streaming subscription service of the latest hits. And to demonstrate latest hits, they had a very awkward performance by Jason Derulo, who was... in my opinion, very off-key, and it was one of those embarrassing moments of
E3. Are you going to describe him as being pitchy?
He was a little pitchy, dog. Man, we need a new idol game, except that show's ending.
Yeah, there is that. Okay, so that was cool, And then I know that you were really excited about the Rainbow Six Siege stuff. Do you want to talk about that?
The only thing I was excited for is that motherfucking Angela Bassett is the voice of one of the main characters. Like, not a playable character, but she's the voice of Six, which I don't know if that is a, like, typical character in these games or something, but she is a character, and she came out on stage, and she's like, they talked to her about, like, Aisha Taylor, who, you know, does a good job at these things, but, you know, she has to work with what Ubi gives her, I guess. But Ubi, they were like, oh, what is it like to be an actress? And I was getting a little bit of a repeat of that, like, Pele interview again. So I was like, eh. But Angela Bassett. And after that, they talked about Trackmania Turbo, which was originally a DS game back in, I think, 2011 or so. And, of course, you know, it's remade and all that stuff. I'm honestly not too familiar with the original Trackmania games, but, you know, I understand that they're really well-loved. It looked neat. I mean, you were on, like, a race car and, like, some really sort of, like, roller coaster-y types of tracks. Is that typical of the other games?
It sometimes is, you know. In the original Trackmania game, which has been around for years now, since 2003... It came out on PC, DS, and Wii. And one of the big things was that, like, you could do, like, a lot of track creation is really the focus here.
Right.
And, again, like you mentioned, you have, like, long bends, you have loop-de-loops and, like, jumps and stuff. With the idea being that you're basically trying to make almost, like, an obstacle course, like, amusement park ride kind of car track.
Right, and that definitely was evident in the little gameplay snippets.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's interesting stuff. It's really cool. A lot of us have been waiting for more information on the next Trackmania game. And so it's cool, you know, to get this gameplay stuff.
And so, like, my initial understanding is that it was a remake of the DS title, but it's just the next entry.
I assume it's the next entry, but, you know, certainly at this point there have been enough games in the franchise that it could just be all of it added into one package as, like, the HD version, and I think that would be a pretty compelling package.
Oh, compelling packages.
Why don't you talk about Assassin's Creed Syndicate? I know you love Assassin's Creed.
They showed a long trailer for it with no gameplay footage, and no, is her name Evie? the female twin, the female
that,
twin.
That is my understanding, yes.
So it was just like, oh, I'm going to go do this assassination in London, and it's 1868, and I'm now going to get in a bar brawl with these mates. I'm sorry, our British listeners are going to hate me now. But, I don't know, like, I was not really enthused because it was just all, you know, like, cutscene-y. And, you know, I've seen plenty of that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, I do feel you, I have to be honest. I'm excited for this game for some of the newer stuff it appears to be doing, but I was not impressed with what we saw today. I'm more impressed by some of the information that is leaked, that we've gotten from, like, the big Kotaku leak this game had. I'm less excited by what they've actually shown us of it.
Yeah, somewhat disappoint showing today.
And then they wrapped up their show with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Another Tom Clancy! Wow, that's three Tom Clancys in one presentation.
Yeah, the Division is a Tom Clancy game, Rainbow Six Siege is a Tom Clancy game, and Ghost Recon.
Not bad for a deceased author.
Slacky, I had a really difficult time focusing by the time we got to Ghost Recon. I was kind of mentally checked out.
It was
out.
Just something South American drug cartel, and, oh, you can stealth your way into the drug cartel, you can do an ambush, or you can do this or this or that. And I don't know, I saw a lot of people talking about how problematic it seemed, and I'm not familiar with the other Ghost Recons, if they're all about, like, Latin American and South American drug cartels or whatever, but it did seem a little problematic, like, oh, let's go in and, you know, stop the drug cartels and kill South Americans.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, I think that's about it for announcements. So what did you think about the event, Slaggy?
Ubisoft's was definitely the weakest so far of the night, you know?
And it should be mentioned to our listeners, so far, only these three conferences have happened. We are recording this with about 10 minutes to go until the Sony conference starts.
Oh, we'll no, you unveiled the secret.
Yeah, well, initially I was going to just slice it all together, but if there's a change in audio quality between, you know, right now and what you're going to be hearing, you know, 60 seconds from now, that's why. So overall, Slaggy, you thought it was the weak point of the day?
Yeah, of the early day, the afternoon.
All right. Yeah, I did too, honestly.
And you know, the thing is,
I actually thought that both Ubi and EA were weaker than they are most years.
The thing is that I always think that Ubi and EA are the weaker ones anyway. And so I was really hoping to see more. And, you know, I think they just continue to kind of, I don't know, they need to take a page from the big boys book.
Yeah, surprisingly, we had, you know, we saw Microsoft actually doing, like, some new and interesting things, and Ubi and EA both were just LOL, AAA, LOL Sports, LOL, same thing we do every year, LOL Tom
and
Clancy.
When Microsoft brought people out, it wasn't awkward. Like, they brought out that one developer. They brought out the developer of Beyond Eyes, right?
Yes, they did.
A female developer, and I was like, oh, yep. She is so fierce, I don't care what the game's like, I'm going to buy it. But it also looked great.
Yeah, it did. All right, well, at this point, we are going to log out so that we can watch the Sony event, and we will be right back with you, for those of you out there in Internet Radio Land, in about 20 seconds.
Yeah, apparently.
That having been said, we are living in a world where the rumor of Final Fantasy VII HD Remaster is apparently a thing. Let's see how disappointed we are after this event.
We should put some Gold Saucer music right here. It's Gold Saucer time, bitches!
All right, we are back with you. Jesus Christ!
Sony didn't really have a lot to say, so we're going to keep this quick.
Yeah.
You know, I think they definitely are going to be considered the losers of E3 this year. A very lackluster year for Sony. Just nobody really saw it coming, you know. Kind of an embarrassment, really.
Well, you're right that nobody saw it coming. So Sony's conference fucking opened with The Last Guardian.
Uh-huh.
We got, like, 5 minutes
of
gameplay.
We giggled, and we're like, oh, this couldn't be The Last Guardian. They're not gonna do that, right?
And then, bam! It was.
It was The Last Guardian.
And, dude, just, I thought it looked great. I thought the graphics were great. I thought the concept was great. I loved the puzzle that they solved in the game. I loved the way that it resolved. I loved the way that, you know, the little boy interacts with the giant thingy thing. I don't know what it's called.
A guardian, probably.
Yeah, probably the guardian.
Kind of was a dog, eagle bird. It's Year of the Dog at E3.
Yeah, Year of the Dog. I thought it was great. It is a 2016 release. It is back on. It has made its grand return. And I am so fucking excited for The Last Guardian. And holy shit, Sony, what a way to kick it off.
Yeah, it looked beautiful. And, you know, definitely, what's the team that does that? Is it just
that's
Sony?
That's Japan Studio.
Sony Japan Studio. I mean, very much like Ico. Got a lot of vibes from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Immediately after that, they followed up the new Guerrilla Games game. This one is called Horizon Zero Dawn. It's like a super post-apocalyptic game that's like, you know, so far into the future that it's almost as if it were in the past.
Right, right.
There's like, you know, angry robots that are basically like cybernetic animals.
It's basically...
that hunt humans, and humans hunt them, and...
It's basically what I've been hoping that Zelda U will be, complete with a female character.
Yeah.
Because you know how, like, we said, oh, Zelda U has those, like, weird glyphs and stuff, and maybe it's super post-apocalyptic?
Yeah, and it was.
We
it
don't
was...
need that, because now we have Horizon Zero Dawn.
Right? Yeah, so I'm really stoked for Horizon Zero Dawn. We then got I should say Horizon Zero Dawn had what was presented as game footage. If that was game footage, I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did this whole thing where, like, the girl used some, like, bow and arrow wire to, like, anchor the, like, giant beast that she was hunting down to the ground so it couldn't, like, maneuver around her
right.
and stuff. I love that kind of gameplay. There was a little bit of that in Just Cause 2, and, you know, that's what I talk about when I talk about Just Cause 2, is always, like, man, I love hooking one thing to another thing and, like, fucking people up by hooking them to things that, you
know... Now you can do it to robot dinos.
Yeah, exactly. I love gameplay mechanics like that. I'm really stoked for this game. Anyway, we then got a CGI trailer for the new Hitman game.
Yeah, it looked Hitman-y.
It looked Hitman-y. I'll play it because I like the Hitman series, but, you know, it looked like a new Hitman.
Visuals looked great, but I mean, that's not a surprise, really.
I was, at this point, you know, I was still flying high from The Last Guardian. I was enjoying
right.
it. We then got a Street Fighter V trailer, the announcement of two new characters, returning characters, two new returning
Cammy.
Characters. Cammy, the English army woman, I guess you could call her, and Birdie, the English punk. So that was exciting.
Everybody was excited for that.
We then got, like, 10 minutes of No Man's Sky. You know, I'm kind of over No Man's Sky myself.
You're not a little bit convinced now that they actually showed real gameplay and, like, the scope of the game?
I mean, I get the scope, and I get that we saw gameplay, but, like, the things that I like about gameplay, I didn't really see apparent there. Like, it didn't seem super goal-oriented, it didn't seem very structured.
If it's a $14.99 digital release, will you pick it up?
Oh, if it's a $14.99 digital release, I will, but I bet that's going to be a $60 retail, but it's not going to have any point or plot, it's just going to be exploration, the game! Which,
yeah.
you know, is cool for some people, but not for me.
Yeah.
That having been said, at least Sean Murray was looking super cute, so I wasn't, like, fully
I'm
bored.
I'm like, hello, games.
Then Media Molecule came out with their new title, Dreams, which is, like, a creation suite as a game.
Basically Media Molecule doing their thing, but...
Right. I was, you know, it was compelling, though, and I'll definitely be looking into this, especially if it isn't, like, a $60 retail release.
There was a really cute section with a baby polar bear and its mama polar bear.
Yeah, they'd made, like, a little animation of some cute polar bears being cute, and, you know, I am here for that. We then got a demonstration of Firewatch for PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that was interesting.
My understanding is this is a PC indie title that is getting, you know, a big deal port to PS4.
Mm-hmm.
We then got the official announcement of Destiny, the Taken King, or King of the Taken, or whatever.
The Taken King.
Excellent. That looked good. I still like Destiny a lot. It promises to have more story elements, have, you know, more abilities and new supers, and even
Yeah, you were talking
specs.
Shit to the Taken King when it was airing. You were like, oh, hell yeah, I kill... Oh, well, maybe spoilers.
Yeah, no, it's about Oryx, the father of Crota. who you might be familiar with from all of, like, the Sword of Crota missions on the moon and stuff, if you play Destiny. So, yeah, no, I was definitely smack-talking the trailer. It was probably pretty annoying for Psychic.
It was LOL. I was LOLing the whole time.
Ah!
I miss Daisy!
Anyway, super excited for that. Then we had a representative from Ubisoft do an Ask Creed.
And thankfully
trailer.
They showed Eevee.
Yeah, actually it was super Eevee-centric. It actually made me kind of hype for the game.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome.
And then Square Enix had their huge reveal.
Square Enix revealed their new Final Fantasy game. I should say, their return to the world of Final Fantasy. This game was called The World of Final Fantasy, and it is a crossover game of sorts. It's an RPG of some kind. We don't really know exactly how it's going to play yet, but it involves a brother and a sister. They sort of are in a land full of Final Fantasy characters and monsters, and they're interacting with them, and everything is done super, super, super cute. Slaggy, what did you think of World of Final Fantasy?
It looked really cute, and you know, I was looking forward to something like a Crystal Chronicles or some return to something that isn't just, you know, like the sort of Final Fantasy content we've been seeing lately. And so I'm hoping that this delivers. I hope we get to see a little bit more about the gameplay at Square Enix's conference tomorrow.
Excellent. Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Not just like an hour of Hitman and Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Of course, then we just had a silly little reveal trailer for a Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's
you know,
coming.
It's coming. It's beautiful. And, it's fucking happening. It's real. It
time
looks
to go,
really good.
Put on your best lady clothes and go to the Honeybee Inn.
Right?
That's all I can say.
So it's looking probably like it's going to be more a 2017 title than a 2016
title.
Well,
20-year anniversary.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess that just gives us all time to play Dirge of Cerberus before Crisis.
Excuse me? Why would we want to play
Watch
Dirge of Cerberus?
Advent Children and play Crisis Core.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll do all of those except play Dirge of Cerberus. That game was shit.
Whatever, you love Genesis.
I love Vincent Valentine.
So what did
too.
You think of the Final Fantasy VII trailer?
You know, I complain about Final Fantasy VII, but it has a special spot in my heart. It's just, it's not as good as 8 or 6 or 12, you know, so I'm hyped for it. I hope that they do it right, that it has, you know, a better script, but that, you know, also I hope that they don't take out things like the Honeybee Inn and things like that. I mean, otherwise, it wouldn't be Final Fantasy VII. So it'll just be really interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel largely the same. I'm not the world's biggest Final Fantasy VII fan. I've talked about that here a lot on the show. But I am excited for this remake. I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do to sort of elevate it to current standards in terms of, you know, video game narratives. Because, let's be honest, the face of gaming narratives has changed a lot in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm eager to see how they rise to the occasion.
Well, you know, we've got to get somewhere from, it's all because of this fucking pizza that people are suffering.
Let's see. After that, we had a sizzle reel of games from Devolver Digital.
Yep, doing good things.
Including Crossing Souls, E-Tier, Mother Russia Bleeds. So that looked like some really good stuff. And then we got another big reveal in the form of the announcement of Shenmue 3's Kickstarter.
A lot of people online having trouble with this news.
You specifically mean the Kickstarter aspect?
Yeah, like, oh, Sony got on stage to announce a Kickstarter. It's like, whatever, it's going to be funded by the end of this evening. Probably by the time this episode goes up, it will be funded
yeah.
at its $2 million mark.
This Kickstarter is $2 million. When we started recording, literally 20 minutes after the presentation ended, it was already up to $700,000. So I do kind of believe that by the time we get this episode posted in, what, like an hour, it's probably going to be funded. And, you know, we here in studio have certainly contributed to that ourselves, and this is just a dream, man.
We'll keep you posted by the time our episode's over, see how high it gets.
All right. This E3 is just, it's something else. It's really, really quite incredible, and I'm stunned.
Yep, it's at 9:47 right now.
Final Fantasy VII, Shenmue 3. How do you follow that up?
They tried.
And they failed.
And they tried and they failed and they tried. Oh, gee. Batman.
Yeah, Batman. They showed a Batman trailer. I guess it was for Scarecrow missions or something.
I was saying it was for the Batfans.
It was all right. It wasn't really for me, but that game isn't really for me, so it is what it is. We got a new demo of the Morpheus and the announcement of a couple of Morpheus-specific games, including the online multiplayer-centric Riggs, which looks like an interesting combat-y arena type game.
Yeah. I don't know. I almost feel like VR isn't quite ready for prime time yet.
You know, I say this as a huge proponent of VR. I agree. I don't think it's ready.
I think
it's
really going to be the next console generation that we're really going to see it, you know, evolve and become refined. And an update on the Kickstarter, all of the Dinner with Yu Suzuki packages are gone. All three of the $10,000
ones. Those were the $10,000 ones?
Yes.
Man, I tell you, some of these Japanese developers don't understand how thirsty and hungry we are for these games. You know, Koji Igarashi-san just did Bloodstained, and he was talking about how he felt like he would have been lucky if he got $800,000. He ended up getting $5.5 million. I think these guys really don't understand how much we want these games. Saw the Morpheus, then Sony announced their new PlayStation cable box replacement. This is PlayStation View, and it is going to be an a la carte cable subscription service, basically, where you'll get your TV over your IP. So, you know, that's potentially a very exciting thing. Certainly in a world full of Netflix and people cutting the cord, so to speak, I think it makes a lot of sense. Saiki, did you have any thoughts on PlayStation View?
You know, I'm going to have to see a little bit more details as they emerge, but I think it's promising. I like that, you know, we're seeing a lot of things between, like, their partnership with Spotify and, you know, just in general, we're seeing a lot of different interesting things going on in, like, the cable alternative realm, you know, with Hulu and HBO Go standalone now. So I'm excited to see what they are going to serve up.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, you know, if nothing else, Slaggy, maybe this will be a way for you to subscribe to Logo, and you could just subscribe to just Logo.
For just Drag Race.
Right? We then got a trailer and a gameplay demo of Call of Duty Black Ops 3, including the big announcement that all of the console-exclusive stuff that last generation was all on Microsoft consoles is now on PlayStation. So all of the, you know, early maps and exclusive DLC is going to be PlayStation family material. We then got a sizzle reel for a bunch of just general games that are going to be on the show floor this E3. And then the next focus was on Star Wars. This was in two parts. The first focused on Disney Infinity 3.0, including the first two playsets that will be coming out that are Star Wars based.
And PS4 gets an, or it might be also for
PlayStation family.
PlayStation Nation gets an exclusive Boba Fett Amiibo.
I was getting to it, but yes, you are quite right.
And I know they're not actually called Amiibo, but that's what everyone calls them these days.
Disney Infinity figures. We then got a cool gameplay demo of Battlefront. And I say gameplay demo, but it wasn't being played live. It was, you know, like a pre-made trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sony wrapped up their event with a new... this was a live gameplay demo of Uncharted 4.
Yeah, Nathan Drake was like in a... SUV, not an SUV, like a Jeep thing, and we're going like, vroom.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are probably going to read Sony for the fact that the game glitched the first time they had to reset it and restart. The game glitched so that right after a cinema, rather than, like, being able to control the character and run to the next event, like, the character just stopped and stood there for, like, an uncomfortably long time before they reset it.
I choose to believe that's canon.
But for me, it was like, okay, well, this is a live demo. Like, it sucks that this is so awkward, but it's like that moment when Peter Moore hit the Xbox home button while trying to play Rock Band some number of years ago. It was like, okay, like, it's silly that things like this happen on stage, but this is an authentic experience. This
yeah,
thing
it's
is
like
really
when
running
we,
for real.
It's like when we used to accidentally say Bamco Nandai.
Yeah, right?
Instead of intentionally.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, they showed an Uncharted 4 gameplay demo, and, you know, I'm not typically a fan of that series, but by the end of that demo, I was kind of feeling it.
Yeah, you were feeling
Slaggy,
it a bit.
What about you?
I mean, I'm still not a big fan of the Uncharted games at all, but... I mean, I thought it looked fun, you know, for what it was.
Excellent. All right, well, that's about it for the Sony event. Why don't we talk about our impressions? Slaggy, what did you think about the event overall?
You know, I was telling you earlier that I was like, I'm kind of glad that we don't have to go to a theater this year to see it, because we weren't able to do the theater experience. I'm like, now I kind of wish I had, just to hear all the fanboys and girls like screaming for Final Fantasy VII and Last Guardian.
Oh,
just
dude,
to get that reaction in person.
Yeah, we would be deaf right now. Like,
yes, actually, I am glad.
Screaming.
But no, I had heard the rumors and I thought, no, there's no way. And they delivered. They're going to make it very difficult for Nintendo tomorrow to try and top E3. I think Sony's walking away with the crown right now.
Yeah, I mean...
And I'm sorry, Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Shenmue 3, like, those are three things that people have been wanting for a very, very, very long time.
For Nintendo to take this at this point, man, it's gonna have to be like...
Mother 3. Pokemon Wii U RPG with full online functionality.
Mario Galaxy 3, new F-Zero, new Metroid. I mean, really, I'm sure Nintendo will be comfortable and happy with their firm second place, but I think Sony won. And I don't like declaring a winner this early. I always think it's a waste of time, but in this one case, like Slaggy said, man, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Shenmue 3, Last Guardian, I think it's safe to say that Sony won E3. If they didn't, we are going to be in for a real fucking day tomorrow,
because
that's what it would take. I mean, although for me, I mean, I guess Nintendo could win it by just showing like a new Wave Race or something.
Aww.
That'd be a big deal for me. No, seriously, well done, Sony. I give you a lot of crap, but y'all nailed it tonight.
I mean, really, really showing that Sony has come around. That, you know, there's a reason that they're winning this console generation, I guess.
PlayStation Nation!
Why the PlayStation Nation is such a sensation.
All right, well, that was a thing.
It was a rhyme. It's called a rhyme.
That concludes all of our discussions. So, Slaggy, if you want to...
It's when two words have the same ending sound. It's called a rhyme.
If you want to take us to our social links before I slap you...
All right, so we asked about... Hey, that was not a slap. He just hit himself. And, you know, with the nature of our E3 episodes, we get these social links up pretty quick, and we realize that not everyone is able to follow the E3 madness live with us. So if you are a later listener and have thoughts to share, please don't hesitate to do so after the fact.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to start off with Microsoft. We tweeted earlier, Microsoft's E3 conference just ended. What did you think? Did you watch it? Dan Diaz said, interesting, weird announcing backward compatibility now way after launch. HoloLens looks awesome. Potential is there. That Retro Code gave it a B+, said, I'm sorry to say, but I feel bad for Rare. Just sad. Aw, poor Rare. Your Enzyme said, that was killer. I'm buying another X-Bone just for Blast Corps. Okay, good for you, dude. And Rain on Twitter, RHANE, said, I was genuinely impressed. I think they've learned from past hiccups and made a really strong showing. For E3, we said EEA's E3 conference finished airing a little bit ago. Did you watch? What did you think? Your Enzyme, one of our most prolific tweeters, said, no Mass Effect collection, frowny face. Hopefully they add all three games to the Xbox One compatible 360 games. That'd make me happy. Me too. We also tweeted, Ubisoft just finished with their E3 conference. Did you tune in? What were your thoughts? Dan Diaz said, either Ubi being Ubi or Ubi being Ubi. I don't know how he chooses to pronounce it. Your Enzyme said, South Park was probably the biggest surprise, but I'm still hyped for The Division. March cannot come soon enough. Yeah, I'd have to say out of all the Tom Clancy's, that Division is probably the most appealing. And we also tweeted, Sony wrapped up the night with a few announcements at their E3 conference. Did you watch it? What did you think? Your Enzyme again, number one tweeter tonight, saying, Shenmue 3, Final Fantasy VII Remake, No Man's Sky, The Last Guardian. I still think Microsoft had him beat, but holy hell, no punches pulled. Interesting perspective. Dan Diaz also chiming in and probably second place commenter tonight, maybe tied for first, saying, The Last Guardian is real. I love seeing more of No Man's Sky, probably other things, but I can't remember. Long day. And over on Facebook, our very lovely listener, Daniel T, said, I only watched the Sony conference, and it certainly did what it had to do.
It certainly did what it had to build hype.
Thank you. I had trouble reading that. My fault, not his.
And Daniel, very good timing, because literally, you left this comment less than 1 minute ago.
While all of the really exciting announcements have to be taken with a grain of salt, I have to say that this conference really seemed like it was built for everyone. While I could nitpick that The Last Guardian is still potentially 18 months away, Final Fantasy VII announced as little info as possible, although that should be remedied in 12 hours, and Sony seriously couldn't just pony up the dough for Shenmue 3. None of that matters in the long run. Instead, I saw a conference that announced title after title that while I may not necessarily buy or play the titles, at least got my mind racing about what is around the corner for the PS4.
Indeed.
And in general feedbacks, we got a comment on our episode from yesterday. Thank you for listening, Dan Diaz, among other people. But Dan Diaz said, Fallout buoy, yes. And I just realized, Fallout buoy. Our lawyers made us change the name of that episode so we wouldn't get sued.
I knew you before you were a MySpace whore.
Actually, you did.
All right. Well, is there anything else?
Yeah, we actually got a couple tweets from That Retro Code after we recorded last night's episode regarding the Bethesda conference, saying I give it a B+. Battlecry doesn't look impressive in super early. Doom graphics is questionable. Fallout 4 needs work, but for their first showing, it was passable. Fallout 4 needs better detail in the graphics department. Oh, and Dishonored 2 was amazing, but the robots reminded me of Portal 2. Yeah, you know, I heard a lot of people saying that Fallout 4 needs a little extra polish, that the characters kind of look like wax figures, but... You know, I don't know. I guess that, you know, that's kind of always been the aesthetic, right?
You know, it is. And, you know, I hate to be that guy, but why does everyone care about graphics so much? Like, I ain't trying to read the listeners because Lord knows we need you more than you need us. But, like, man, the scope of this game and all of the cool stuff they're doing and everyone's worried about graphics? Like, calm down, Beyonce. It still looks better than it would have on a last-gen console.
Yeah.
I think it looks, you know, it's one of the things that for me I noticed is that I think the animations look a lot better than the last-gen animations. If the graphics aren't, oh my god, on the level of, you know, The Order, like, well, that's because The Order is, you know,
it's like a two-hour game, right?
It's hardly a video game, yeah, it's like an interactive movie. Like, no, this is a game with tons of systems and tons of, you know, NPCs and environmental objects that you're interacting with, that you're building, that it's all doing dynamically. Like, yeah, the graphics are not going to be as, oh my god, ZOMG amazing as, you know, some tightly scripted event that you're pretty much just playing as a QuickTime event.
That's true.
Like, to do the things that a game like this is doing, it takes power. And, you know, if that power has to come at the cost of AAA
I'd be
graphics,
okay with Fallout.
I'm okay with that.
With Fallout 4, if the characters all look like the Canadians from South Park.
That having been said, I'm so sorry for disagreeing with you, listener. Please keep listening to our show. I didn't mean any offense.
No, we know how you feel about graphics.
So, moving on.
And that's it for our social links today.
All right. Well, then, if you want to do our solicitations.
All right. We love your feedback. We like your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews, and we're sorry that iTunes is being a piece of shit right now. We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitter. Tumblr, Google+, blah, 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 blah. You can mail us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
You can tune into us over at Stitcher Radio, a great alternative to iTunes.
Stitcher Radio!
And, of course, our home base is over at GameBuoy.org with all of our social links, RSS feed, complete episode archive, and even a game bloggy.
Game bloggy.
Captain Spice, why don't you take us to a VG realness? That didn't work.
Well, much like I did last night, I just want to list out the shows that you should be listening to, and we'll link them to you over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
That is, of course, VG Realness, The Game Over Takeover, Orange Lounge Radio, Nintendo Fun Club, Enos Lives, and Nintendo Love Fest. These are all great independent gaming podcasts I definitely think you should check out and support. We love them, and they will definitely love all of you. If you're interested in things that aren't video games, check out X Nation for a podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. Reading is Fundamental if you want to hear some people talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. The Starboard Power Coupling Podcast if you want to hear about Star Trek. And Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, which is a wrestling podcast. Slaggy, Game Bar, take us there.
Game Bar, Koopa Club, over on VogNetwork.com. That's Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. You can listen to shows like Horde House and Girls Gone Wow, along with OLR and Starboard Power Coupling Podcast. I'd like you to also tune in to the over on the Fistful of Potions website, Multitap Podcast. And last but certainly not least, La Palanca Podcast in Espanol. It's all reorchestrated in our music, thank you.
All right, well, all that having been said, thank you so much for listening to us. It has been our sincere pleasure to talk to you about today's E3 events. We will be right back at you tomorrow, since Slykick and I are both huge nerds and we're taking the day off to listen and watch E3 coverage. We'll definitely have some fun stuff for you tomorrow again. Until then, though, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And this guy are sick.
Huh? Finger? What the hell?
I hope all y'all bitches know I expect you to be playing Crisis Core now. We also saw the official announcement.
What's that fucking manga called?
Okay. I don't care if I mess up.
It's recording.
Oh. Fuck.
Ooh, sword fight.